Several years ago, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do everything I wanted in life. And I thought, I've not forgot about that. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about it a lot recently. I'll tell you why in just a little while. And so I want to share some thoughts with you. I want to meditate with you and think about this truism that it's impossible to do everything that you want to do. And so we've got to make decisions, and we've got to pick and choose, and we've got to be careful to pick and choose the right things, because if we're not, our life can be over, and we realize we've chosen the wrong things. You can't do everything. You have to pick and choose. In our scripture reading this morning, we started by reading about Jesus, and Jesus, even at such a young age, at the age of 12, it seems to me that he had laser focus. There are a lot of things he could be doing. There are a lot of things that 12-year-old children do. But he was very focused, even at such a young age. It seems to me, although there's very little said about Jesus, that he didn't waste his time or his energy with ambitions that were not profitable, even at the age of 12. Even at the age of 12, it was obvious that he was an incredibly dedicated person to even confound those experts in the Jewish law because of his knowledge and his insights. And as Jesus began his ministry, he was homeless, he was financially broke, and he was dedicated solely to his mission to seek and save the lost. He was not concerned about accumulating wealth for himself or leaving wealth behind at his death. He had laser focus on what was important. And the apostles, when they were called, they immediately stopped what they were doing. They left their businesses behind and their homes, dedicated themselves wholly to God, and made such a great sacrifice. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 in the Word of Life this morning and begin in verse 23. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be? What then will there be for us?" They had left everything. They had laser focus on what was important and what they were doing. Verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man..." Let me start again. "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also will sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." The apostles had laser focus. They were following after Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of one who had laser focus, totally dedicated upon what his mission was here upon the earth. And they sacrificed a great deal to do that. And their reward was great. As disciples also, there is a cost, there is a price, there is a sacrifice. As we offer up our lives as living sacrifices to God, offering up the fruit of our lips, and there is great reward also. You can't do everything. You have to pick and choose. Are you picking and choosing the right things? And I'm not even talking about picking and choosing righteousness over unrighteousness, sin over those things that are right. I'm just talking about picking and choosing amongst those things that are all right to do. You can't do everything. Are you making the right choices? We walk in the footsteps of Jesus as his disciples. Jesus was totally dedicated. He had laser focus. He did not allow himself to be distracted. We are his disciples walking in his footsteps. We must be the same one. Turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. And I want to read just a few verses getting up to the main point of chapter 3. And it begins with our salvation. Colossians 2 and verse 11. And in him, that's Jesus Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. With laser focus, undistracted, not wasting our energy and our efforts upon things that are not profitable. Keep seeking those things that are above. Verse 2, keep your mind on the things above. Not distracted upon worldly things. Not distracted upon those things that are unprofitable. Not focused on those things that get in your way in accomplishing your mission here upon the earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Verse 3, 4. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Commitment. Laser focus. Not distracted. And again, there are a lot of things in the world. There are a lot of things that are good, that are fine, that are all right, but we can't do them all. We have to pick and choose. Are we picking and choosing the right things? Or are we allowing ourselves to be distracted? To lose our focus. Are we committed as we should be? Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 13. We make no provision for the flesh. And you know, if you're going to go on a trip, if you're going to hike through the desert, you better make provision to get through it. You better have an ample amount of water. You may need to have food. You need to have the covering that you need. You probably want to take a tent with you. If you could, you'd take an air conditioner. But you make provision. But as we go through our journey as disciples of Christ, following in his footsteps, 1 Peter 2:21, seeking the things above, we do not make provision for the things on the earth. In Romans 13 and the beginning in verse 11, do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. We make no provision for sin. And think about what that means. the things that may draw us away, the things that may tempt us. We make no provision. We do not entertain. We shun away from. From the people we hang out with and associate with, from the things we watch on TV and the movies we go to, from the music we listen to everything that we do, we make no provision. We do not provide for it. We stay away from. We have laser focus. We are totally committed. We do not allow ourselves to be distracted. We do not make provision for. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here Paul uses the analogy of first a soldier, then an athlete. You know, a soldier cannot allow himself to be distracted. I've learned a little bit about this from one of the companies Beth works for in building a website, and they train military people. And they train the police. And they have a saying, train hard, come home. Train hard, come home. You see, you can't allow yourself to be distracted. You have to have laser focus. The moment you are distracted in the least little bit, you're dead. Spiritually. Isn't that true also? The moment we allow ourselves to become distracted by the world, something to throw us off course, we die because we're going to sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Now remember, soldiers have to deal with everyday life. They've got to sleep, they've got to get up, they've got to get dressed. Sometimes they get to take a shower if they're lucky. But yet they do not allow themselves to be entangled by it. And you see, we have to deal with everyday life. There are things that we have to do, but we can't be entangled by it. We can't allow it to distract us. We have to keep our focus on what is important and use these other things only to the profit that we stay in our priorities and accomplish our mission. Not to be entangled by the affairs of everyday life. Why? Verse 2, so that we can please the one who's enlisted us in this army, and that is God. Verse 5 is the metaphor of an athlete. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, it says also, athletes can't be distracted. They have to have laser focus. You can't go to the Olympics and win a gold medal distracted by all sorts of things. So also as an athlete, we must compete according to the rules. And what are the rules being a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ? Walking in His footsteps. Have laser focus. Be committed. Do not get distracted. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul says, be careful how you walk. Be careful regarding the choices that you make in life. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. You know, there's a lot of things we could do, but they're not profitable. They're not the best for our time. Dennis Trask recently told me that he decided, I'm going to turn the TV off for the weekend. He says, you know how much I got done? Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we don't make the most of our time. I understand. We need to rest. We need relaxation. We need to recreate. Jesus did the same thing. He went into the mountains to have some time away from the crowds to rest. And He took the apostles with Him. I understand that, but Sometimes we have so much recreation, we waste our time. We think we got to watch TV and so much TV, and we got to watch a movie, and we got to do all these things every day. And sometimes we waste. Paul says, be careful the decisions you make and how you walk. Don't waste your time. Make the most use of it, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We must be careful that we are fruitful in the kingdom. There are lots of things we could do, but we have to make good choices, because we can't do everything and be fruitful in the Lord's kingdom. We must stay in our priorities. Remember John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that we bear fruit. And if we bear this fruit, what does God do? He comes and He prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. But if we don't bear fruit, what does He do? He cuts us off and throws us into the fire, eternal fire. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, the church at Laodicea, and they were lukewarm. They were a little fruitful, but not as fruitful as they could have been. Jesus said, I wish you would be hot or cold. Be anything but lukewarm. And He says He will spew them. He'll spit them out of His mouth. Recently, I took a drink of milk, and it was sour, and I spit it out violently. That's what Jesus will do with a lukewarm Christian. One who has a little fruit, but gets distracted, not in his priorities, not with laser focus, just lukewarm. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 14, and then I'm going to tell you why I've been thinking about this so much lately. John chapter 14, and beginning in verse 1, Jesus is going to tell the apostles that He's going to be leaving. And they want to know, well, how do we get to where you're going? And Jesus says, you know already. Verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you there you may be also. And you know the way, where I am going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, our journey ends in heaven. He's gone to create mansions or dwelling places for us. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, He's there. He's waiting for us to cross the line in our race of life. Our journey ends in heaven. And now I'll tell you why I've been thinking about this so much. You know, I have to share my own personal experiences. And I'm going to share this one, and I'm going to do so in a sensitive way. But this is the reason I've been thinking about this so much. It is because I got to know Polly Phillips. She reminded me to have laser focus in life and to stay in my priorities as I thought about her life. The last years of her life, she had very little and could do very little. She really had very few material things. But when I compared her life to others, I decided I wanted to be like her. She spent her time and her efforts in furthering the gospel and helping other people rather than accumulating stuff. Even when she went to work at Penny, she did so that the gospel could be furthered. She could look back and feel good about her life and not have an empty feeling. She did not have regrets. Oh, I'm sure she could look back and say, if I I could do this better. I could do this differently. She had precious memories and a sense of purpose rather than an empty life consumed with worldly ambitions. And when you ask her about her eternal salvation, she was very humble about that, not arrogant in some way, as if she had earned it, but simply said, "I hope I'll be in heaven." She stayed true to her convictions, even when persecuted by her own family, and chose to miss her mother's own visitation at her funeral and to be at church. And when I'm on my deathbed, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I imagine I'm going to be saying a prayer, and I want to say a prayer like this: "Dear God, thank you for the wonderful life I've lived and the wonderful experiences that I've had. And thank you that I've been able to help just a few people in their walk of life to be a Christian." And I don't want to say a prayer like this: "God, I'm sorry I wasted all my time trying to get things that now mean nothing to me. And I'm sorry I wasted my time. And I'm sorry I chose to accumulate wealth rather than help people get to heaven." I don't want to pray that prayer. And so I have to do something today so that prayer will be the prayer I want it to be. I realize I can't do everything, and I have to pick and choose. And my question is, are we picking and choosing the right things? And again, I'm not just talking about the things which are sin and which are not sin. You can take all the things that are not sin, and we could still have wasted our life. Are we picking and choosing the right things? Well, I want to review three scriptures that you know so very well as we think just a little bit more about that. We must be focused on the kingdom of God and His righteousness and not distracted by even the basic things of life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, to a passage we know so well. And Jesus is teaching this lesson to the disciples. And He says to them, "Don't worry, don't be concerned over even the basic things of food and clothing." And He doesn't even begin to touch on shelter. Just food and clothing. And He says, don't be focused on this. And you know, you look at our lives, you know, what do we do sometimes? We're so focused on, we've got to eat, I've got to provide for my family. He says, don't be focused on that. That's not the thing. And in verse 31, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things." Now, let me paraphrase this. You can't be like everybody else in the world. You can't be like your neighbors who aren't Christians. You can't be like your schoolmates who aren't Christians. You can't be like them. You can't think the way they think. You can't have the same ambitions they have. You can't have the same goals that they have. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Our focus, our energy has to be on the kingdom of God and upon His righteousness. And whatever God adds to us, we are content with that. Whether it's a lot or a little. Whether it's homelessness or a mansion. We're content with that. Jerry Flatt's sermon last Sunday got me really thinking even more about this, to the point that I just finally had to do a lesson on it. If we're tired or we're too busy to do what we should be doing, working in the kingdom of God, we need to cut some things out. Paraphrased a little bit, but basically that was it. If we're too tired, if we're too busy, then, in the terms of this lesson, we're making some bad choices. Those things we're too busy with, they may be fine, it may not be sin, but if it's keeping us out of doing what we need to be doing, if it's just wearing us out, if we're just consumed with it, we need to make changes. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 9. Again, a passage you know so well, but I pray that you'll turn in the Word of Life with me this morning and read these things along with me. It's not important that I say it, but that you read it. And this is Jesus, verse 23. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. We've got to deny ourselves and our desires and our wants and our think-sos. And we've got to put all of that behind us. Paul says, count all of that as rubbish and reach forward to the prize that is ahead. Again, the middle of verse 23. And take up his cross daily and follow me. It's an everyday thing. It's not a one-day thing. It's not a once-a-year thing. It's every day we wake up. We take up that cross all over again. We refocus our lives all over again. Every day, Jesus says you got to do it every day. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. We've got to stay focused, laser focused, not distracted. We've got to take up our cross every day and follow after Jesus Christ. And if we're not doing that, if we are over here and distracted with worldly things, now those worldly things may not be sin, but it becomes a sin to us if it distracts us and keeps us from accomplishing our mission. Let me suggest to you within this context, it's because we are ashamed of Jesus Christ. Why is it I'm not making the right choices? I'm ashamed of Jesus Christ. I think that's the context Jesus put it in. We're choosing the world. We're choosing the things of the world, and those things may not be sinful in and of themselves, but we've made the choices, we've consumed ourselves with it, we're off track, we're not in our priorities, so it's become a sin for us, and it's because we're ashamed of Jesus, we've chosen the world over Jesus. We have to order our priorities. Not become distracted. Stay on track. Make the sacrifice, taking up our cross, and be as fruitful as possible. One other scripture is Philippians chapter 2. And this will be our final scripture in the lesson. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 12, it is God who is at work in us as Christians. And if I get out of my priorities, if I become distracted, if I try to gain the world, then I am locking God out of my life, not to work within my life. Philippians 2 and verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We are instruments of God. And if we're making the wrong choices, if we're out of our priorities, if we are distracted, then we are blocking God out of our lives not to accomplish his good pleasure in us because we're more concerned with our own pleasure. Yes, again, we have to deal with everyday life. We have to eat. We have to drink. We need covering. We need a place to live. We need all of this. But we're not entangled. The moment we become entangled, we're knocking God out of our life to do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do with us. we have to put God and His kingdom first and stay focused on our priorities. So let me leave you with some questions. Questions I've asked myself. When considering whether or not to do something or to continue something, will I be able to serve God the way I should if I do this? Maybe with a job. I've told you the stories of Beth and I both leaving jobs. Not because the jobs were sinful, but they kept us from being at church the way we wanted to be at church. And working in the kingdom the way we wanted to work in the kingdom. And so we quit to do something else, and that was not to preach. Just so you know, that was long before preaching. It could be a function at school. It could be some voluntary work. It could be some recreational activity. How much time will it take? How much energy will it take? How much of my finances will it take? Is my priority on God and His kingdom and His mission and my mission as His child, or is it on other things? I ask myself a lot as a preacher this question when thinking about what should I do even in the kingdom. And there's more to be done in the kingdom than I can ever do. I've got to pick and choose where God has put me at this day and time and age and what He's blessed me to do. And I ask myself this question when considering an activity. What will I have to do to give up? What will I have to give up in service to God if I do this? What am I going to have to give up in service to God if I decide to do this other thing? A third question, will this negatively impact me as a Christian? Evil companions corrupt good morals. Is this going to be negative? Is it going to have some negative impact on me? Will it take so much out of me? It may be perfectly fine. It may not be a sin. But will it take so much out of me that I can't do the things that I ought to be doing, working in the kingdom? Is it going to take too much out of me to do it? Next to last question. When you're lying on your deathbed, would you be satisfied with thoughts of your material possessions? Or will you be satisfied knowing all you've done in the kingdom of God? And I'm convinced when we're on a deathbed, material things are not going to matter. And if that's all I've got to look back on as a Christian, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to be empty and sad. And I'm going to feel that I've failed. Because material possessions mean nothing when you're getting ready to die. The satisfaction we can have as a Christian is what we've done. You know the old saying, when you die, you can't take what you have. You can just take who you are. And if you're the Christian you should be, you're going to take that with you. And that's what your satisfaction will be. The final question I ask myself is, what do I have to do today so that I have no regrets? So that I have no regrets, maybe when I'm older in life and I'm homebound, I can't get out, I can't do hardly anything. Am I going to have regrets because I squandered all of those years of youth? Maybe on my deathbed. Am I going to have regrets on my deathbed as I look back? Maybe in the judgment. Am I going to have regrets when I stand before Christ in judgment? Or maybe in my eternal abode? Have you ever imagined what it would be like to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and to look back on your life and the choices that you made and the bad choices that you made, what kind of regrets you're going to have for eternity in hell? I decided many years ago to try my best to live a life where I have no regrets at all. I've made mistakes. I've made big mistakes. Let me tell you what, I've made giant mistakes. But the Lord's forgiven me of that. And I want to make sure that I don't have any regrets when I stand before my Lord and when I enter my eternal abode. There's a lot of things we can do in life. We've got to pick and choose. Are you picking and choosing the right things? If you're picking and choosing the things of sin, of course you're not picking and choosing the right things. You need to change that today and you need to become a Christian. But even as a Christian, are you picking and choosing the right things? There's a lot of things in the world that aren't sin. But you still got to pick and choose. Still got to pick and choose so that you are fruitful in the Lord's kingdom. If you'd like to get your songbooks out, we're going to offer the invitation number 271, Nearer to the Heart of God. Maybe you need to get nearer to the heart of God today. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian so that you can become near to God. How do you do that? Repenting of your sins because of your belief in Jesus Christ, confessing that He is the Son of God, and then being baptized into Jesus Christ. You're added to the church this very day. But really, this has been a lesson, at least from my perspective, more about being a Christian. Are you as near to God as you should be? Do you have the focus in your life and the commitment in your life? Are your priorities ordered the way that they should be ordered? Are you as close to God as you should be? If not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make a change. And just not to make it in your mind, but to truly change so that it is an outward change in the way that you live. That's called repentance. To the lukewarm church at Laodicea, Jesus said, "Repent and be zealous." Maybe you need to repent and be zealous today. As a Christian, we ask you to make that change. We can help you all this morning. Won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing?